Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God from our Old Testament reading found in Proverbs 25. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. This is God's Word. One of the hardest things to do as a pastor, one of the most humbling things, is to be able to say the words, "I don't know." Maybe some of you expect that as a pastor, I'm going to have answers to questions of all different, various spiritual natures. I remember in seminary, though, we had a professor who wisely told us, he said, when you're at sitting there with someone who's grieving the sudden loss, an unexpected death, and they ask you, "Pastor, why did this happen?" He said, keep your theology to yourself. Keep your clever answers. Just say, "I don't know." That's hard, isn't it? But let's be honest. There is a lot about God that we just don't know. Why does God allow so much division in the church? Why do we have 50 different brands of Christianity just in our community alone, all divided, all with different thoughts, different beliefs? Yeah, there's maybe a same God involved in all of them, but so much division. Why does God allow it? Why does God let bad things happen? If he's all powerful, why doesn't he just put an end to all evil and wickedness? Why does God allow evil in the first place? Why did he create the devil? Why did he create a world that had the potential to fall into sin? Why do our loved ones die? Why do some people die in an excruciating, painful way, while for other people, it's just a peaceful passing into death? I don't know. That's hard for us to admit as Christians, especially when you've got the world throwing so many questions at you to be able to say, "I don't know." We can talk about God in two ways. We talk about how God has revealed himself to us and how God is still hidden at the same time. So, for example, God has revealed to us in his word that he created all things, heaven and earth. He still takes care of it. He still orders the days and the seasons. He takes care of us, provides for us. We know that. He's revealed it to us. He's revealed to us that he sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins, to be our Savior. We know that. It's revealed. We know that Jesus will come again one day to rescue us from this world of sin and evil and death. We know these things. It's revealed. But there's a lot that's still hidden. Why do some people come to faith but not others? I mean, the Bible says faith is a gift from God. It's worked by the Holy Spirit. You can only have faith if God gives it to you. So why do some people have faith and not others? Why doesn't he give it to all? Why hasn't Jesus returned yet? Why does God allow us to continue on in this evil world? It's hidden. We shouldn't be surprised that there's a lot about God that's hidden from us. It's right there in our Old Testament reading. It is the glory of God to conceal things. But the glory of kings is to search things out. Now, this chapter of Proverbs, just about the entirety of Proverbs, was written by King Solomon, who was a king himself. And what he writes here in chapter 25 is sort of some advice for kings. He says, God on the one hand hides things. Kings on the other hand reveal things. Now he's not being critical. He's not saying kings are wrong for doing that. He's saying that God does things this way and the kings of the earth do things this way. If you think about it, leaders, rulers, kings, people who have charge over things, they like to make things known. They like to let you know how they're going to protect the people, how they're going to promote justice, how they're going to put a stop to evil. They show those things to you. When a person is running for an election for a position of leadership, we're not going to make this political today, don't worry. No, when a person's running for a position of leadership, they let people know what they're going to do. They reveal things. I'm going to do this. I'm going to build a wall. Or I'm going to promote single-payer health care. Or I'm going to promote this or this or this. They reveal things. But God, on the other hand, hides himself. He hides things. It's who he is and what he does. You see the contrast there between God and the kings is really, really neat. Because when kings and rulers and leaders and people in authority, when they do those things, when they promote justice, you read about that in our Old Testament reading today, when they cast the evil out from their presence, when they do what God has called them to do, God's the one working behind them. You know, St. Paul reminds us in Romans 13, all authority comes from God. All authority. He doesn't qualify it. He doesn't say unless the person is really, really bad, unless that authority is a despot or a dictator. No. Authority comes from God. And so Paul says, obey your leaders. Submit to their authority. And every single leader that you have is given to you by God, regardless of political party, regardless of their beliefs. Because you know what? We know that there are some leaders who are evil. I'm not even going to get into which ones they are. But you know that there's evil that is promoted into our society. You know that. And yet God still hides himself in those authorities, working behind them and through them. I'm going to give you an example of how this works. And I love this example because I think it reorients how we think about the people who lead us as a nation, who lead us as a people, people who lead our state, people who run our governments. Consider how our salvation took place with Jesus Christ. He couldn't be put to death on a cross unless there had been a government that ordered it. He couldn't do it without Pilate's death sentence. On the one hand, is there a more evil, wicked ruler that ever lived than Pontius Pilate? Now, you might not think so, because boy, he was kind of hesitant about putting Jesus to death, and oh, he wanted to try and let him go. You might think, nah, Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, these are the evil leaders that we know of history. And yet, Pontius Pilate, a man he presumed to be innocent, ordered a death sentence for God's only son. The only Son of God, sinless, guiltless, blameless, and holy, for the sake of keeping his own life peaceful and trying to calm down the crowds, Pilate sentenced him to death. It is the greatest evil that has ever happened on this earth, that the Son of God would be stripped naked, flogged, whipped, beaten, tortured, nailed to a cross, and raised up and put to death. And yet, in that evil act, we don't look at that as evil, do we? How do you and I look at the cross? It's our salvation. You know why? Because God hid himself in Pilate, in the Jewish leaders who arrested Jesus and brought him before Pilate, brought him to Herod, in the soldiers who nailed Jesus to the cross and lifted him up to die. God was there in all of it. What a beautiful thing that God hides himself, that he works through sinful, often wicked leaders and he accomplishes his plans and his purposes. Doesn't just hide himself in leaders, though, does he? He hides himself in you. You, here, with you, through you. We have this reading from Hebrews chapter 13, where the author to the Hebrews, we don't know who wrote Hebrews, the author says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Now, some people take this text to mean, well, that means that there are people out there who might actually be angels undercover. That when you're talking to a person or dealing with a person and showing them kindness, showing them love, that could actually be an angel. Not quite sure if that's how it works or not. We don't quite know. But what we do know is that God is at work in the love we show. And that when we're showing love to others, angels are doing his bidding. They're there and God is working through us. So when you show love to a person and kindness to a person, compassion to a person in need, God is working through you. He's hiding himself in you, in your vocations, to show love and compassion to a person in need. But you know what else happens? The converse is true. If you neglect to show love to a person, if you neglect to show kindness and compassion to a person in need, it's not just your love you're withholding from them. You're withholding God from them. Because he hides himself in you. He works in you and through you for the sake of your neighbor. God, forgive us for how we have failed to realize just how present he is in our world. Because God is indeed here, hiding himself in places that we might not expect, that the world certainly doesn't expect. He hides himself in the water and word of holy baptism. So that when you are washed, Jesus is given to you. He hides himself, believe it or not, in the pastor who speaks God's word, speaks forgiveness, speaks the removal of all your sins. That's God who forgives you, despite how unholy the pastor might be. I can tell you, me being up here doesn't make me less sinful than all of you. I'm one of the sinners as well, and yet through the word, in a hidden way, God speaks to you and says, you know what? Your sin is taken away. He hides himself for you in the bread and wine. Gives you Jesus's very body and blood. God hid himself in the one who came to be our Savior. What was it we say of Jesus? He is both true man and yet true God. So that when Jesus was born of a virgin and laid into a manger, it was God who was born of a woman and laid into a manger. When Jesus walked among the people of Judea and Galilee and ministered to the cities and towns and performed miracles, it was God who walked among the people and made his dwelling with them. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, when the crown of thorns was pressed into his head, when he was lifted up to die, it was God who suffered and died on the cross. It was God who came out of the tomb on the third day. It is God who will come again for you and me. And it is God who makes his dwelling here with us in this place. He's the God who hides himself in word and in sacraments, in the lives of his children who do his work and love their neighbors. He works through all of it. Though we do not see him, though there is so much we as of yet do not understand, though there is so much we wish he would reveal to us, your God, dear friends in Jesus, hides among you and works here in your midst. In our Holy Gospel today from Luke chapter 14, we continue a theme that we actually heard about last week in the sermon. Remember, those of you who were here last week might remember me saying that in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is always at a table, right? He's always sitting down to dine with people. Well, here it is again. Here's Jesus at a table in the very next chapter. And Jesus tells the people gathered there, and it fits in with our text from Proverbs 25. For in Proverbs 25, Solomon tells people it's better to be told by a noble, come up here, than to be put to shame. And Jesus likewise says, when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. God blesses and exalts the humble, the lowly. He's talking about you and me. We are the humble, the lowly, because we are sinners. Because we deserve eternal death and eternal punishment. But God, in his great mercy, exalts us through his Son, Jesus Christ. See, most of the world would not expect God to bless the humble and the lowly. But God is a hidden God who does things in way that people do not expect. He does things in ways that are unanticipated. And of course, it is the glory of God not just to conceal things as we read in Proverbs 25. It is also the glory of God to forgive sinners, to forgive you and me, the lowly, the humble. Thanks be to God that he is a God who works among us, lives among us, dwells among us, hides himself among us to give forgiveness, to give life, to give salvation to humble, lowly people like you and me. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.